Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the January 2011 issue of Boys Life magazine. Our first article today is entitled On Guard, on page 34 through 37. And it has a couple of big pictures here of, looks like they're working on something. People are all bandaged up. I guess they're practicing for something. Above it says, Brent Neighbors, Kyle McDonald, and Morgan Hubbard, left to right, are all dressed up at receiving assistance from the National Guard. On the right, there's Bobby Bomarito, pretends to grimace in pain as guardsmen tend to fake leg injury. Let's find out what this is all about. When disaster strikes, the National Guard is often the first to show up at the scene. Texas Boy Scouts do their best to help local guardsmen be prepared. Zach Quinlan's body was twisted and jammed under the rear seat of the 15-passenger van. His arms and legs were tangled in the seat belts. Blood was running down his face. Getting him out of the wrecked van without hurting him more was going to be hard. Blake Neighbors was wedged under a tire, and his blue lips likely meant he was breathing. And Kevin Hicks appeared to have hit his head on the dashboard and passed out in the front passenger seat. Rescuing these and other Boy Scouts with a variety of unknown injuries was tough for airmen from the Texas Air National Guard's 136th communications flight. That was the whole idea. First responders. The National Guard is the nation's number one emergency response team. Guardsmen are among the first call to help when a flood threatens a town in North Dakota or a hurricane devastates a city in Louisiana. Here's how they get involved. Step 1. A disaster strikes. Step 2. The governor calls on the state and federal agencies to help, including the National Guard. Step 3. A National Guard quick reaction team is sent to the disaster, followed by more National Guardsmen if the disaster is big enough. Step 4. Guardsmen assist local law enforcement, evacuate stranded people, administer first aid, distribute food and water, and carry out a number of other tasks. The National Guard may also provide aerial observation of a disaster site so other rescue teams can operate more efficiently. Step 5. Guardsmen stay until the governor releases them to go home. This trio of Boy Scouts and the other members of Troop 757 and Troop 86 from Bedford, Texas, weren't really injured. They were just fine actors wearing makeup, playing accident victims for the Texas Guard during its annual disaster response training in December 2009. The National Guard is frequently called to help out with disasters all across the region. It responded to both Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, Louisiana in 2005 and Hurricane Ike in Galveston, Texas in 2008, helping the helpers. To keep their skills sharp, these airmen have trained for mass casualty events with Bedford Boy Scouts since 2008. That first time, the Boy Scouts set up a camp to look as if a large propane tank had rolled into a charcoal fire and exploded, injuring several scouts. In 2009, the airmen practiced rescuing scouts from accidents in a small car, a charter bus, and a 15-passenger van that was jammed with extra scouts just to make the rescue more challenging. Makeup artists gave the scouts realistic-looking injuries. "I thought I would be miserable," says Kevin, a live scout with Troop 757, who was wrapped up like a burrito in a blanket and lifted out of the van because there was no other way to get him out through a front window. "I usually don't like to face paint, but it actually was a lot of fun." Scouts did more than wear scary makeup. They studied their parts and gave it their all. "We were given specific instructions to make it as difficult as possible," says Zach, a life scout from Troop 757. So he wedged his 180-pound body under the back seat of the van and wrapped the seat belts around his arms and legs. "They had a difficult time getting me out," Zach says. It wasn't easy for Zach either. "I found it hard to stay in character, to not try to help them in some way," he says. Instead, he let the airmen figure out how to get him out of the van on their own. Practice makes perfect. Blake, a life scout from Troop 86, says, "They crawled under the bus and supported my head to prevent it from dragging on the concrete as they moved me out from under the tire. Then the airmen made a stretcher from blankets and sticks, carried Blake to a grassy area, checked his airway, and started CPR. Afterward, Blake and the other scouts, who have top-notch first aid skills themselves, talked to the airmen about their specific injuries and the proper way to treat those injuries. They did very close to what they should have done," Blake says, "but they didn't always tilt my head back to open up my airway and allow more air into my lungs." Participating in the emergency disaster drill also helped the scouts better understand how they can help if they are called to give a hand. "It taught us to deal with actual people," says Star Scout Brent Neighbors, who, like his brother, is the Troop 86. "Sometimes a person can think they have a bigger injury than they do, and that can be a problem. So when the Texas Air National Guard comes looking for volunteers to train with next year, these scouts will be ready. You learn a lot you didn't learn in your first aid merit badge," Brent says. "It's a memorable experience," Blake adds, "that I won't forget for a long time." And so it has other pictures here. Here's Morgan, who Hubert pretends to be unconscious with a severe skull fracture and a broken nose as airmen remove him from a vehicle. And then just above that, guardsmen position the wounded on benches in the back of a cargo truck. Below left, Michael Soto shows off his wound that almost looks too real. Getting ready. Emergency situations can happen anytime, anywhere, even in your own home. The best way to handle an emergency at home is to get ready for one now. Put together a disaster supplies kit with enough supplies to live on for 3 days. Create an emergency plan with your family that you can follow in case of disaster. Include the quickest way for everyone to get out of your house and the quickest way to get out of your neighborhood. Know where to go within your own home in case of a tornado. Know which radio and TV stations will broadcast emergency warning information. Know which hazards are most likely to happen in your community. Is your area known for wildfires, flooding, blizzards? Create a kit. For instructions on creating a family emergency kit, a major disaster preparedness kit, and a personal emergency service pack, go to boyslife.org/emergency preparedness. All right, let's go to our next article, Scouting Around, pages 38 through 41. It has a picture here of a couple of Boy Scouts along with a scout leader taking care of a young man, once again, looked like he may have been hurt. Let's find out. Survival School. Florida scouts get a dose of wilderness survival training from expert instructors at a nearby Navy base. At Naval Air Station Pensacola, future Navy and Marine Corps pilots learn how to survive in the wild, just in case they ever find themselves stranded, say on a top-secret mission. Troop 495 of Pensacola, Florida, spent a day last spring learning what some of the pilots learned, just in case they too ever find themselves stranded, say on a Boy Scouting outing. The Navy and Air Force instructors began by simulating a typical survival situation, then demonstrating how a military crew member would handle it. Scenarios included signaling, wilderness first aid, fire starting, and shelter building. Chad Pierce applies a tourniquet to Morgan Carnley's leg as the guys work toward their wilderness survival merit badges. A tourniquet should be used only when all other efforts to stop the bleeding have failed and medical care is not available or is at least 30 minutes away. Wood shavings make great tinder for an emergency fire. Try to use dry wood that has already fallen from a tree. Keep on trucking. Venturing Crew 35 in Springfield, Massachusetts, has been working since 2006 to design and build a truck that will compete in the Best in Desert Vegas to Reno race, a 500-mile off-road competition that starts in Las Vegas, Nevada, and finishes in Reno, Nevada. The group skipped the 2010 Vegas to Reno race in favor of the National Scout Jamboree, but hopes to have their truck ready for 2011. Track their progress here at boyslife.org/links/crew35. Lucky find. Sam Karabashian from Troop 389, Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, thought he was getting a 1950s Morse code kit as a gift from a friend who got it from a seller on an internet auction site. But tucked inside the kit was a newsletter from the USS Shangri-La, an aircraft carrier commissioned in 1944. Sam did a good deed and sent the manuscript to the Navy Department Library, where it now resides with other rare books and manuscripts. Now, that's a hike. Atlanta, Georgia Boy Scout Troop 467 recently hiked 100 miles in 5 days on the Bartram Trail, which runs across parts of Georgia and North Carolina. During the trip, they gained 15,000 feet in elevation, lost about 14,000 feet in elevation, stopped 6 hours to tend to a scout who came down with the virus, and tended to another scout who developed vertigo. Scout Program Communications, Knowing the Signs. Sign language, a form of communication that uses hand gestures and body language instead of sounds, is as rich and complicated as any spoken language. And like spoken language, different kinds of sign language have emerged in different communities across the world. American Sign Language is the primary method used in hearing-impaired communities in the United States and Canada. Historians believe it was formed when the American School for the Deaf opened in 1817 in Hartford, Connecticut. The best way to learn sign language is in a classroom setting with other people with whom you can practice. Still, learning the basic sign language gestures on this page is a great way to expand your knowledge of how people communicate. Fingerspelling is mainly used for proper nouns, but it's a fun introduction to American Sign Language. Use these symbols to tell your friends what you'd like to do on your next scout outing and see if they can figure it out. Merit Badge Minute. What you need to know to continue your advancement in 1 minute. Snow sports. Number one, choose your specialty. Cross-country skiing, also called Nordic skiing, cross-country skiers use a binding in which the heel is not fixed to the ski so the back part of your foot can be lifted up and down, much like when you walk as you push forward through the snow. Cross-country skiers aren't always going downhill, so they must create their own forward movement using an efficient whole-body motion. Snowboarding. Snowboarders descend a snow-covered slope with both feet bound to a board similar to a skateboard. They may not generate the same speed as downhill skiers, but there are more opportunities for stunts. Downhill skiing, also called alpine skiing. Downhill skiers use fixed heel bindings, which means the bottom of your feet stays flush with the ski the whole time. Most downhill skiing is also downhill, which means your focus is on turning and controlling your momentum. Choose your specialty. Number two, gear up. Make sure you have the right clothes, proper headgear, and eye protection. Number three, get fit. Don't wait until winter to get into shape for your snow sports outing. Make physical fitness a year-round goal. And number four, go ride. Get with your merit badge counselor and choose a snow sports spot that balances the needs of fun and the needs of your budget. Aviation. Learn the force. Study the four forces that work together to keep the airplane off the ground. Of course, it has a picture of an airplane here, one of the older ones. Number two, instrumentation. Become familiar with aircraft instrumentation. It has a little picture here of some of the buttons and some of the gadgets used in an airplane. Fly. You might be able to fly with a licensed pilot in an aircraft with an FAA standard certificate of airworthiness, or you might be able to fly a real course using a flight simulator software package available for most computers. Life-saving. Study all of the water rescue techniques. Know when to use them, starting with the easiest, then moving to the most difficult if necessary. Reach. If the victim is conscious and close to the shore, look for a long stick, pole, or paddle to perform a rescue. It shows a picture here of a young man being rescued with a limb. Number two, throw. If you can't reach the victim, try throwing a buoyant object. And of course, has a picture here of a young man throwing a little buoying object a life raft to the young man. Number three, row. If you can't reach the victim and the victim is unable to grasp a buoyant object, race to the victim in a boat. And number four, go. A swimming rescue is the final option. Grab a floating aid if available and have the victim grab it. Make contact with the victim only if absolutely necessary. Next, Scouts in Action, page 44. He saved a man from icy waters. Josh Newsham, 16, and three friends were walking along a scenic trail when Josh saw a man and his dog break through the ice covering Missouri's Merrimack River. A branch proved too short to reach the man, so Josh waded through the freezing water and climbed onto unbroken ice to help him. Josh lay down, grabbed the man's collar, and pulled him out of the water. The ice broke as Josh and the man scrambled to shore. The dog swam through it. The man thanked Josh and returned to his car. No one was hurt during the accident. Now it has a picture here of the man falling in the water along with the dog, and then Josh pulling him up onto shore and the dog coming along with him. And then, of course, the man is, after he's revived, is able to go on his merry way. Well, first-class scout Joshua Stephen Newsham, a member of Troop 787, chartered to Charmin Hills, Charmin Trails parent-teacher organization, St. Louis County, Missouri, received an honor medal for his actions. Here's another one. He took control of their car. As Alex Cheney, 12, his mom and younger brother and sister were driving to church, Mrs. Cheney suffered a seizure, and the car began to cross into the opposite lane. Alex grabbed the wheel and steered back into the right lane. He then reached down and pushed the brake pedal, and the car went off the road and hit a tree. No one was hurt. During the collision, Alex called 911 on his cell phone while calming his brother and sister. Paramedics arrived and treated Mrs. Cheney at the scene. So it has a picture here of Mrs. Cheney going into her seizure, then the car hitting a tree. Then there's a picture of Alex calling 911 and trying to calm his younger brother, sister, and mother down. And finally, Tenderfoot Scout Christian Alexander Cheney, a member of Troop 35, chartered to Hickory Grove United Methodist Church, Charlotte, North Carolina, received an honor medal for his actions. Now, the Wacky Adventures of Pedro. So it has a picture here of one of Pedro's buddies. Looks like they're showing him something. It has these things with numbers. Number one. Let's find out.
My evil mirror twin, Oradep. So you're the one who's buying a Planet Zork.
And Pedro.
And changing it all to sorts of sports fields. That's me. Lots of moolah in pro sports, you know. But what of the Zorgians who live here? They'll have to buy a ticket like everyone else. What if they don't want to sell their property when I send my friendly real estate agents around?
Then here's a picture of some mean, mean characters.
Pedro says, well, they'll have to sell. Looks bad for Planet Zork and Pedro.
Tune in next time. And now Pee Wee Harris looks at communications, page 46. Hey, guys, and here's Pee Wee talking to his buddies. Hey, guys, ready to practice our telegraphy skills?
Oh, and one of his friends says, who are you supposed to be?
And Pee-wee says, Samuel Morse, of course, inventor of the telegraph.
Oh, Samuel Morse. Of course.
And Pee-wee said, very funny. Now I'm going to leave the key here with you, and I'll take the sounder into the other room. So Pee-wee walks into the other room and leaves a telegraph there with his friends.
I'll yell out when I'm all set up. Pee-wee yells, okay, I'm ready. And Pee-wee looks at the machine, and it sees it, the little telegraph is going click, click, tick, tick, tick. It's working. Time to crack the code. Pee-wee looks at the paper that's come out of the code. What? Ish, ganickle, doodle, bart, parn, hawkin? I don't get it. How long until we tell old Samuel? See, his boys are laughing, sitting in chairs. Let's just see what he holds out any longer. Pee-wee or the bird seed. And it has a picture here of the bird doing the Morse code. He's just tapping anything. Poor Pee-wee. All right, how about some trail tips? Page 47. On the trail to staying warm in winter. The key to keeping warm on a cold weather outing is the word colder. C. Keep clean as grime reduces insulation. O. Avoid overheating. L. Wear layers. D. Stay dry. E. Examine clothing regularly. R. Repair clothing quickly. The leading cause of heat loss in a cold environment is radiation. Heat radiates out from your body, often from your head. Remember the old saying, if your feet are cold, put on your hat. Of course, it has a picture here of all everyone in the picture, backpacks and hats. Bible stories, again on page 47, from Joshua, part 3. Shout, the Lord has given you the fortress. The Lord spoke to Joshua. I have given you the fortress of Jericho with all its warriors. March around the city one each day for 6 days with the priests and their trumpets leading. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. When the trumpets signal a long blast, have all the people shout and the fortress wall will collapse. You are not to touch the valuables inside. As the people marched, Joshua commanded them, do not cry out until the day I tell you to shout. The seventh time around, on the seventh day, Joshua gave the Lord's command. When the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed, and the Israelites charged in and took the city. Joshua's fame grew, but the people were unfaithful in that a man named Achan took some of the beautiful things in the city for himself and hid them. From the book of Joshua, chapters 6 and 7. Make a twig table, pages 48 and 49. Twig or bent willow furniture was popular in the United States and England during the 19th century. With a few tools and some twigs and branches, you can make this durable, rustic table today. What you'll need: pruning shears, pruning saw, knife, hammer, tape measure, drill, 2 sizes of ribbed paneling nails. The large nails are for the frame, the small nails for the flexible pieces you'll bend. 4 legs, 2 inches in diameter and 24 inches long. 12 cross pieces, 1.5 inches in diameter, 16 inches long. 8 flexible pieces, 1/2 inch in diameter, 36 inches long. 2 flexible pieces, 1/2 inch in diameter, 72 inches long. What you'll do, cut your materials to size. The material diameters suggested are approximate. Use a sharp knife to take off any unwanted rough spots or bumps. Attach 3 cross pieces to the legs by first drilling holes slightly smaller in diameter than the nails. Drilling a hole for each nail will prevent the wood from splitting when it dries. 3. Work your way around using 2 nails at each contact point. Make 2 identical frames. These 2 frames will be the front and back of your table. Number 4. Drill and nail 4 1/2-inch twigs onto the bottom and center cross pieces. Number 5. Carefully bend each piece into position. Then drill and then nail them into place. Number 6. After each twig is attached, use the pruning shears to trim to length. Complete both the front and back frames. Number 7. Drill and nail the front and back frames together using the remaining 6 cross pieces. Number 8.
carefully bend and attach an inside arc as shown. Drill and nail it into place. When the table dries, the wood will shrink and grip the nails tightly. Number 9, you can make an 18 by 8 inch square top from boards as shown. You can also use a standard 18 inch square tile or enough straight twigs attached side by side to cover the entire top. And see, it has all of these different frames, all of these things made from these twigs. Have respect. While hunting for materials, strive to leave no trace by reducing your impact on natural areas. Find saplings that need to be pruned or get materials from a tree trimming crew. Be sure to get permission from landowners before going onto private property. Choosing materials. Willow is still commonly used to make rustic furniture, but almost any wood will work. Birch, ash, maple, and alder bend just fine. As wood dries out, it becomes less flexible, so it's important to build your table soon after cutting materials. Stay away from conifers like spruce and pine, unless you don't mind sticky sap everywhere. And finally, let's go to Think and Grin, pages 55 and 56. Here's our first one. Mike, what do you get when you cross an Autobot with a can of paint? Ike, tell me. Mike, Optimus Primer. That's from Mike DeMuzio in Maple Glen, Pennsylvania. A man went to the hardware store and asked for nails. How long do you want them? Asked the salesman. Oh, said the customer, I was rather hoping to keep them. That's from Tony Ciro in Lidditz, Pennsylvania. Danny, why do the lions cross the road? Bobby, I don't know. Why? Danny, to get to the other pride. And that's from J. Daniel Jackson in Huntington, West Virginia. Josh, what kind of guitar always has a cold? Larry, I have no clue. Josh, an acoustic. Acoustic. That's from Joshua Bettison in Bellflower, Missouri. Katie, who is the leader of all the inches? Jacob beats me. Katie, the ruler. Katie Meyer in Mount Carmel, Illinois. A book never written. Old Cars by El Camino. That's from Colin Shiner in Cincinnati, Ohio. Man, doctor, I think I'm becoming a dog. Doctor, just relax. Have a seat, and I'll help you. Man, but doctor, I'm not allowed on the furniture. That's from Lee Jaworski in Galveston, Texas. A book never written, Simple Electronics by Sir Kit. Sir Kit. That's from Zach Airy in Great Falls, Virginia. A man was driving down the road when a policeman stopped him. The officer looked in the back of the man's truck and said, why are these penguins in your truck? The man replied, these are my penguins. They belong to me. You need to take them to the zoo, the policeman said. The next day, the officer saw the same guy driving down the road. He pulled him over again. He saw the penguins were still in the truck, but they were wearing sunglasses this time. I thought I told you to take these penguins to the zoo, the officer said. I did, the man replied, and today I'm taking them to the beach. And that's from Michael Vancour in Tallahassee, Florida. A book never written. The Winning Streak by Losers. That's from Gautam Ramesh in Danville, California. Tom Swifty, tell the dog to be quiet. Tom barked. Jonathan U. Clare in Gaithersburg, Maryland. A book never written. Good Cleaning by Dustin D. House from Collin, West Modesto, California. Well, that's all. We've run out of time for today's reading. I'm John Ivy, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and readily available as podcast after the broadcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's reading. So long, till next time.